Amen. All right. While we're getting the song ready, let me remind you to be here Wednesday night. Come praying. We had a really, really good crowd and good service this past Wednesday night. Don't forget to pray about that. And also, remember Brother Derek, he's preaching off down the country somewhere this morning at a church down in Hickory or somewhere. And remember him in prayer and others that are gone on vacation. They'll get back all right. And somebody had asked, and a lot of people won't know about Brother Bo and his surgery, and it went really, really good. They were tickled, took the tumor out. It wasn't attached to anything, and he's at home, and they were got a good report. So keep praying for him. And he said to tell everybody he'd be back at church just as soon as he's able to get up. Amen. And that's good. So remember him in prayer. He said, thank y'all for your prayers. Amen. All right, go ahead, brother. Crystal also this morning sick. Y'all, some of y'all know Crystal been sick. Remember, pray for her this morning. She's been sick quite a bit lately, so remember her. Amen.
Every now and then, an old friend of mine, I've not seen for some time. They'll stop by the house and they'll ask me, where you been? What's on your mind? They wonder why I'm not still drinking and still painting this old town red. I tell them I'm serving Jesus now, and the old man is dead. And the man you see before you may look a lot the same. I may wear some of the same clothes. You're just looking on the outside. If you could see inside instead, oh, and you would find a brand new man. I used to live such a wicked, wicked life. I had no hope inside. Oh, I was so lost out in darkness. Oh, just trying to find a little light. Up in one night at a little church, after hearing what the preacher said, I gave it all to Jesus Christ.
Now that's what we need to do this morning. Give it all to Jesus. Give it all to Jesus. Whatever you need is this morning, give it all to Him.
I may wear some of the same clothes.
Well, thank God. Go ahead.
I've got the same old name.
But you're just looking on the outside.
But Edmund, you're just looking on the outside.
You can see what He's done for me.
Edmund, you could see inside instead.
Woo! Glory to God.
Oh, you'd find a breath. a brand new man. 'Cause the old man is dead.
All God's people said, hallelujah, amen, glory to God. Forever drunk that's been saved, forever alcoholic that's ever been saved, forever liar and thief that's ever been saved. But in the world, all they're looking on the outside. If they could only see what God does on the inside of a person's heart, they'd see you're a brand new man, and the old man is dead. Glory to God. I never heard that song one time, I don't think, when it didn't tire me up. Amen. Hallelujah. The old man. I'm glad. Thank God. Yeah, he's gone. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Psalm 23, one of the greatest chapters in the whole Bible this morning. I want us to look at Psalm 23, one of the greatest, well-loved, most quoted, often repeated, familiar scriptures in the entire Bible. Psalm 23. And I want to point out to you this morning that Psalm 23 is not just some pretty words of literature or poetic genius that David somehow or another had. Psalm 23 is a tremendous study about life. And I want to help you this morning if I can. Be a help to you. I'd like to be a help to you. We talked in Sunday school about how when a preacher gets up here, he needs to help you. We don't just get up here and beat you to death every single service. We're up here to help you and encourage you. You've been fighting the devil all week long in the flesh. So I'd like to encourage you this morning. Look at Psalm 23. We will read the whole psalm. It's only six verses, so follow along with me. Verse 1. The Lord, David says, writing this, is my shepherd. I shall not want. Well, like when a little kid got up one Sunday morning and quoted that. He was about that high and he said, the Lord is my shepherd. That's all I want. That's good. Amen. He had it wrong, but he had it right. Amen. Sometimes them kids get the Bible wrong, but it turns out to be right. The Lord my shepherd, that's all I want. If He's in you just right, you don't need nothing else. He said, look at verse 2. He maketh me to lie down. Remember this. All right, y'all, help me out here now before we can hear. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Don't ever forget that, friend. When it comes time for you to die, He will be with you. He will be with you. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. I mean, when everything's going bad and the devil's all around you, the Lord will just bless you right in the middle of it. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I want to look at this psalm here this morning, and this is an amazing, amazing study of comfort about a shepherd and his sheep. Now, David himself was a shepherd. We don't see many shepherds in our part of the world, but in that part of the world, it was common to be a shepherd. If you have never studied the study of a shepherd and his sheep as a Christian, you really, really need to study it. There's so many similarities between the Lord being our shepherd and we being one of His sheep, and a real shepherd and real sheep. David, no doubt, was out there on that hillside of that mountain or that side of that hillside thinking and watching, looking up in the universe out there at night, seeing those thousands and millions of stars. And then he looked down on his little flock of sheep, laying there, fed, content, not afraid, happy, asleep. And he's saying, just like I'm watching over my sheep, the Lord's up there watching over me. The Lord is my shepherd. I hope this morning that that gets a hold of you more than it ever has. That the Lord is your shepherd. You are one of His sheep. That makes you special. That makes you somebody. Amen. You are his sheep and the sheep of his pasture, the Bible talks about. Now, he's going to say this morning, and I just wanted to divide this up just a little bit and say a few things about it. I'm talking about shepherd and the sheep. He said, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Now, you know what David said? David said, I know what it takes to make a sheep want to lay down. And he said this, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. Now, long green grass is what sheep love. They love it. They'll eat about anything, any kind of something growing up out of the ground. But they love long green grass. It's a picture of the Word of God. They don't have to worry about biting the ground. They don't have to worry about biting into a rock because the grass is high enough for them to eat. And that's the way a Christian should be. Now, I want to say this morning, and I want to say, they say a real shepherd said that there's four things must happen before a sheep can lay down. Because they'll stand around out there all day. They'll stand around out there all day looking for something. Biting here, biting there. But if a sheep is laying down in a green pasture, four things have happened to that sheep. You can mark it down. And the same thing is true of a child of God. And they say this. They say a sheep, first of all, must be free from fear. Free from fear. If a sheep are very timid, they panic easily. A sheep is don't really have much of a way to defend themselves. Bless their heart, they can't bite, they can't run fast, they can't claw, they can't attack, they don't squirt out poison like animals do. They're basically helpless, really. And they're very timid. And a jackrabbit can jump up and stampede a whole flock of sheep. This one's like that, and the other one's and they don't even see what's going on. They're just afraid because they're afraid, and they're afraid because they're afraid, and they're afraid because they're afraid, and then they call everybody and say, did you hear this? And they get afraid, and then they call and say, did you hear what? And they all get afraid, and then they all panic and don't even know what's going on. It wasn't nothing but a rabbit that couldn't have hurt them no way. Boy, when I heard that, I thought, Lord have mercy, ain't that like churches? I know so many churches, one jackrabbit can jump up and say something, and the whole church begin to panic. It's not supposed to be that way. I mean, you know what? A sheep has to be free from fear. And they say this, if the flock is scared, say you got 200 or 300 sheep out here this morning, and all, one of them gets scared, another gets scared, another gets scared, there's only one thing that'll calm that sheep's fear. You know what it is? When they hear that shepherd blow that horn, and they look up there on that hill, and there stands their shepherd with his rod in his hand. They know that everything's all right. They look up at that shepherd and they say, nothing ain't going to happen to me now. There's my shepherd. Nothing can harm me now. There's my shepherd. Now I want to say this morning, we are a flock of sheep. Shining Light Baptist Church, we're a flock. The Lord is our shepherd. You say, well, Brother Danny, what are we going to do? I'm worried. I'm tore up. I don't know if we're going to make it. This is happening. That's happening. This family's falling apart. This family, I can't pay my bills, everything. I'll tell you what you need this morning. One good glimpse of the shepherd and knowing that he's standing up there watching over us. Brother, that'll get rid of our fear quicker than anything. Get you a good glimpse of the shepherd this morning and say he's there. He's not going to let anything happen to us. He's going to take care of us. Glory to God. That'll get rid of our fears this morning. Say amen. Amen. A sheep must be free from fear. A sheep must be free from friction. A sheep's got to be free from friction before they'll lay down. Sheep, they get irritated. They get irritated at each other. They get irritated and they butt heads like cats, you know. And they bang their heads up against each other, Baptists. And they'll bang their heads up against each other. And they'll bang their heads up against each other. And they get irritated and they get irritable. And they get grouchy. And heart, you wonder why the Lord calls us sheep. Amen. They get grouchy. They get irritated. They get hateful. They get hard to get along with. And brother, the first thing you know, they get aggravated at each other and push each other. And you're eating my grass and get away from me. And I don't like you and you stink. And get away from here and I don't like your kids either. And first thing you know, there again. The answer to that is a glimpse of the shepherd. When we get our eyes off each other and get our eyes on the shepherd, it frees us from friction. There's a lot of churches can't even operate this morning thanks to Nosebook, because of friction. There's a lot of churches can't operate this morning free from friction, thanks to people being backslid. There's a lot of churches can't operate smoothly this morning because of friction, thanks to the world, the flesh, and the devil. There's a lot of churches can't operate without friction because we can't get our eyes on the shepherd. When the sheep start pushing each other around, then the friction comes. But their eyes must stay on the shepherd. And then the third thing that a sheep must have is to be free from torment. Torment. Now there's things that torment. Insects torment sheep. Now I'll be honest with you. I wouldn't want to be a cow or a horse or a sheep for a lot of reasons. And one of the reasons I wouldn't want to be an animal like that is because of insects. Have you ever seen a cow standing out and they're literally covered with flies? Literally. I mean, all around their eyes. And all day they just go like, yeah. And their tail, they continually just swap their tail around like that. I'm telling you, that'd be a horrible way to exist. That would be I can't imagine having listen, brother, I've laid in some places where there's flies. I've been in some places where I had to preach standing at youth camps and little old campers, and I mean flies get in there. And I mean, you can't rest. You can't lie down in green pastures and enjoy the presence of the shepherd. I mean, with flies, and I mean, they fly all around you and all around. Now horses can somehow or another, like if a fly is right there, they can move that muscle right there. You ever seen them do that? Yeah. Horses are, I can't do that. I can't just go and move a little muscle right here. But somehow or another, the Lord had mercy on them and made it so they can wiggle, and that fly, it'll fly that far from here, that fly can come right back on them. And they go, boom, boom, and they'll fly right there and come right back on. And they're all blessed day long. That'd be an awful thing. That's why the Bible said, the whole creation groaneth and travaileth. The whole creation. You know why that has to happen? Sin's in the world. If it wasn't sin in the world, stuff like that wouldn't happen. That's all proof that the Bible's true. But these flies, they call them nasal flies. I know you're getting ready to go eat here in a little bit, but I'm going to save you some money right now. Nasal flies they work their way up in that fly sheep's nostrils, and they get up in there and they lay eggs, and there's larvae and up inside the sheep's nostrils. Now that'd be a miserable thing. I know when my nose gets stopped up, I hate it. Don't you hate it when your nose is stopped up? I mean, and you can't. And can't breathe. And you know what? I'd rather have a stopped up nose than get addicted to nose spray, like a lot of people do. And, you know, that's every time I squirt nose spray in there and you feel it going, I hate that. I'd just soon have it stopped up. But anyway, I hate that feeling. Well, them flies get up in there and they lay them eggs. And boy, when they lay them eggs, they start, well, it torments them sheep. They're tormented. They can't squirt a sheep, they ain't got fingers like us. They can't go up in there and get them things. They got hooves. You can't stick your hoof up in your nose. And all they can do is just do like this. And they go over and bang their head on a fence post. That's what they'll do. They'll bang their head on a fence post trying to get rid of that torment in their nose. Them bugs in there. You ever had anything just bug you like that? You ever had something just bug the fire out of you? And you know how they get rid of that? The Bible said they took them over there. Them shepherds will take them sheep over there and get that horn right there of oil. And the Bible said they'll anoint it their head. They'll pour that oil on that sheep's nose, and it goes in there and kills and gets rid of them flies and gets rid of that stuff that bugs. Oh, my soul, this morning, people. We got all this stuff that bother us. Ain't you bothered with work? And ain't you bothered with your bills and stuff in your family and friction and problems? But I'll tell you, one good old-fashioned anointing with oil. Oh, well, get rid of that junk. And I'm glad this morning the shepherd loves us enough. We can get in this altar and stay here. And stay here a while. Get up here and stay here a while until the shepherd anoints you with oil. And he'll get rid of that stuff that bugs you. A sheep has to be free from fear, free from friction, free from torment. And a sheep has to be free from hunger. They can't be hungry. They will not lay down if they're hungry. Amen? That is no accident. Now, they got to have satisfaction. Did you know that a sheep, they say that a sheep is the dumbest animal for its size? like, it's probably smarter than a mosquito, but mosquitoes are little. And a sheep is the dumbest animal for its size. It's got a little bitty, tiny brain. That don't set too well with PhDs and intellectuals from Harvard that God calls us sheep. Sheep are dumb. Dogs are way smarter than sheep. Cats and animals are way smarter than sheep. But God compares us to sheep. You know why? Because we do so many dumb things. And we need help. We need the long grass of the Word of God. Amen? Listen, ladies and gentlemen, you must have the Word of God. You will not lay down unless you're free from friction, free from fear, free from torment, and free from hunger. But notice secondly this morning, he said, beside me are the still waters. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Now, what do still waters represent in a sheep's life? They say that sheep will not drink running water. Unless it's absolute, just for a minute. They're scared of it. It bothers them. It makes them nervous. Sheep don't drink running water. Sheep drink still water. If you went down to a brook and it was flowing over rocks and stuff, sheep just sort of back up a little bit. It makes them nervous. But you know what they do? They get down there where that still water is, and they put that little mouth down in there, just like they got a little straw in there. And you suck up that water like that, and just drink. And there's two ways that they get the still water. One way, which is the main way when they're out there, is springs or streams. There's a spring. They're out there somewhere, and they're out there. They get up one morning, and the sun's coming up. It's going to be a hot day. They're thirsty. They're thirsty. Over here is a little spring. They come over here and drink, and that water goes in and satisfies. Like that song or choir used to sing, Lord, give me a drink of that water. Oh, the living water. And I'm going to tell you something. In this world, it's wicked. The world's wicked out there, people. There's people out there everywhere that's starving. And I'm glad we can have a place like Shining Light Baptist Church. That's a little spring, a little stream in the desert where we can come Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, camp meeting, revival, youth rally, and get a drink for our soul and get our soul refreshed. Did y'all know that there's still people drinking off our youth rally a few months ago in April? We get reports all the time. Them DVD, Tammy got an email the other day. Somebody in Australia, it's laying in there on my desk, where they took that DVD of I did on addiction, and they're passing it around to people in Australia. And they said, we have a real problem with addictions here, and they're giving around. There's no telling. That's people drinking out of water that we had right here at Shining Light Baptist Church. I met a guy the other day, and I could tell he's a weird-looking guy. You just tell. And I gave him a track. And I gave him a chick track. And I said, here you go, buddy. Read this when you get time. He said, I don't read it. I said, why? Read it. He said, I'm Buddhist. And I said, Buddhist? I said, well, here, Buddhist, read this anyway. He said, I don't read that. I'm Buddhist. And I said, well, a Buddhist should be open-minded. He said, Buddhists are open-minded. And I said, well, read it then. If you give me a Buddhist paper, I'll read it. I ain't scared of it. And he would not take that track. And then he proceeded to tell me how that he had been to Finland. And at Finland, everything was so much greater. You know, Scotland, over in Sweden, Denmark, and all that. Don't let the news media convince you them wonderful places. They said, oh, they're all abortions legal. Drugs are legal. He said, you can sit right here and smoke crack. It's all legal. They don't do nothing to you. He said, it don't matter. It's all legal. I said, well, drug abuse is down in that country. It's all legal. You know, if you make it legal, nobody's arrested for it. And he was bragging about how wonderful it is and how great it is and how wonderful it is and all. And I thought, you know what? That old boy sitting there, one of these days he's going to get thirsty. One of these days he's going to get hungry. And he's going to realize that crack can't satisfy him. He's going to realize that Buddhism can't satisfy him. He's going to want a drink of that living water that'll get down in his soul. And brother, that's the only thing that'll make a sheep not thirsty. You listening? He said this. He said, beside me is my shepherd. He said, behold, thou art with me. Thou art with me. Can I say something to you this morning? If you can't feel Him, He's with you anyway. He's your Father. You are His child. You cannot be separated from His love. God's right there. You say, Brother Danny, I'm having the awfulest time ever was. I've got good news for you. He's right there with you. He's standing beside that bedside. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He's with you even in the dark times of trouble and trial and pain and financial problem. Thank God He's with you, and He'll never leave you or forsake you. He'll never leave you, folks. He'll never leave you. He's still with you. I remember one time, it snowed when my girls were real little, and the two of them were really little, and they were just, I like kids when they're just old enough to enjoy that first snow. You know, that one year, they're like a baby and they don't really pay no attention to it. But that first year, man, they start getting up 3 and 4, and when they really, boy, they love it. And my girls, I won't say which one said this, it snowed one time. And boy, we stayed out that night. You know what we always did when they were little, still do. When it snows, I wait till it gets about that deep. They're always saying, let's make snow cream, let's make snow cream, let's make snow cream. That's all I hear. And everybody comes and said, don't eat the first snow. I said, man, this ain't the first snow. It's been snowing for months in Alaska. And I said, let's fix snow cream. And boy, we get out the eggs and beat up a couple of them. And man, I get out the vanilla flavoring and get the milk. And man, we beat it up and beat it up and beat it up. And I go out there, where my swimming pool is, and take the top off that. And boy, we make snow cream. And we got out in the yard and we built a snowman and everything. Well, at night, it got real late and they finally went to bed, you know. And the next morning, one of them, I won't say which one, but she's sitting in here right now. She woke up and looked out the window the next morning and said, Daddy, it's still here. And you know what she thought? The snow didn't leave in the middle of the night. It's still here. The next morning, we can play in it again today. I can't believe it. It didn't leave. It's still there. It didn't melt. And I'm going to tell you something this morning. Sometimes the child of God's like that. Sometimes we get in a good meeting or something like that, and the Lord's real to us. But then we go through a dark time. We go through a dark day. We go through the darkness of night. We go through problems. We go down to the hospital. We go down to the funeral home. But I'm glad, thank God, we can wake up and say, He is still here. Hallelujah. He ain't gone nowhere. Glory to God. The Lord's still here. Got good news for you, child of God. If you've been saved, the Lord's still with you. And He's not going nowhere. Amen. He is, thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. What does that mean? Well, a shepherd has a rod, shepherd's rod. And buddy, they'll take that rod. I'll let this be my rod here this morning. It's got some limbs sticking out on it. I didn't get cut off. But this is my shepherd's rod. And he said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Comfort me. So, the shepherd keeps this rod all the time. There's a reason it's called a rod. Did you know that rod is used for a bunch of different things? One thing is, at night, when they come in the sheepfold, they pass under the rod. There's scripture about that. You get counted. There's one little, there's two little, there's three. That's why the Bible talks about them sheep coming in, and that's why people say when you can't sleep at night, you're supposed to count sheep. You know what that means? When you can't sleep at night as a Christian, you start praying for all the people in the church and all the people in your family. You're counting, yeah, so-and-so in, so-and-so all right. Lord, I pray. I prayed for many of y'all this morning before you even got up. And I prayed for some of y'all this week. And you know, I was counting sheep. There goes that one. There goes that one. There goes that one. And then that rod also is used to keep them in line. Here goes a little old sheep, and he wanders over here like this. And there's a big cliff right there. He's going to fall over and break his fool neck. But he keeps getting closer and closer and closer. Okay, here comes the shepherd. And he said, now look, I don't want to hurt you, but you better get back over where you're supposed to be. He keeps going like that. He takes that rod and goes, whack! Whacks him upside the head with it. Bam! And that sheep's too dumb to know that he'll fall off there and get killed. So he goes back over here and gets another. That's the purpose of the rod. By the way, that's the purpose of a rod of a mother or a dad. To correct a child, keep it in line. And there ain't never been no child that didn't need correcting. Are you listening? I talked to a girl the other day at the store somewhere. I don't know how it came up. And I was at Walmart, I think. And she was talking about, and I said, something about, boy, that kid needs a spanking. And she said, not my kid. I got a good kid. I said, you're the first one that's ever had one, except Mary, the mother of Jesus. Yeah, she had one and you got the second one. I said, no, you ain't. That kid needs whooping once in a while. And boy, I'll tell you what, that shepherd will take that rod and he'll go like that and go, wow, and slap you right back in line with it. And if you get out of line, he'll take the rod to you. I'm glad that he will. I'm glad he loves us enough to whip us back in line when we need to be put back in line. Because sometimes we do. Nod your head, little sheep, and say, bah. All right. Amen. I'm telling you this morning, brother. Listen. Yeah, that's what the rod, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. He said, now they were more than just conquerors. Amen. It's sometimes you can see the merciless attacks of Satan on our society, but I'm glad, thank God. Listen, we're in the midst of our enemies right now. There's all kinds of sin all around us. There's drugs over here. There's alcohol over here. There's sin up there on the mountain. There's sin going up and down that interstate. But right in the middle of it, the Lord prepares a table on Sunday morning and Sunday night so you and I can come and be fed and refreshed right in the presence of our enemies. Amen. Amen. You ever been blessed at work or something and right in a bunch of people that hate you and the Lord just bless you right in the middle of them? He'll prepare you a table, right? I can tell you story after story after story. A guy told me one time, he said, Brother Danny, so-and-so's talking awful bad about you. And I said, glory to God, hallelujah. And they said, what's wrong with you? I said, man, because every time they do, the Lord just pours out more blessings on me.
Amen.
Every time I really catch a lot of persecution and stuff, God blesses me every time. Every time, it's amazing. And I don't deserve it, and I know I don't deserve it. But you know what he'll do? He'll fix you a table and hold your enemies back and say, eat, son. Have at it. Enjoy yourself. Enjoy the things of God. I'm glad, brother, we can enjoy the things of the Lord this morning. He said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Sheep, under the right management, can be the most extremely beneficial animal to a piece of land. Sheep, under mismanagement, can be destructive. That means if a shepherd don't know what he's doing, sheep will ruin land. They'll get up the roots and it won't be nothing but dirt and stuff like that. But if that shepherd knows how to do it, and he moves them to this area, and moves them to this area, and moves them to this area, and feeds them good, sheep, you know what they have a nickname for sheep? It's called golden hooves. And the reason they call them golden hooves is because after a sheep leave a section, it's green. Their sheep manure is the best fertilizer about any animal they say you can get. And when a flock of sheep's been treated right, son, that grass is that tall and that green. And you say, man, I know they've been a good bunch of sheep here because look what follows after them. Goodness and mercy. And you can tell a real preacher, and you can tell a real church, and you can tell a real child of God, because goodness and mercy follow them all the days of life. I know preachers that you look at their record, and there's about four or five churches tore all to pieces, and some of them gone out of business, and they're like, something's wrong. Something's wrong with that man. A real shepherd lead that flock, and it'll have goodness and mercy. And I'll say this and I'm through. He said, I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And that means he has no desire to change. There ain't nothing better than Jesus. The thought of leaving never enters his mind. And he don't want to change outfits or change crowds or change hope. I believe this morning that there's people sitting in this church, and I know it's been a little quiet in here this morning, and I just sort of give you a little lecture on this, but I believe there's people sitting in this church this morning that deep, deep down in your heart, you know you're one of the Lord's sheep, but you've been just mean, and you've been just straying and running off out here after this and after that, and you're not going to be happy, and you're not going to be satisfied until you're right back in there with your eyes on the shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, he said. That little kid did. That's all I want. Let's stand by our head for prayer this morning.